Well, greetings, everyone. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. It's a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now. And if there's a question you'd like us to answer or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite your call right now. The number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I want to start out today's program with a passage from 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 19. I think it gives us some biblical perspective on what's happening in the world today and why it's happening. John writes this, a simple statement. We know that we are children of God. Those of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ now have been born again. We belong to the family of God. So we know that we are children of God, and we also know that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We, as children of God, were once part of that world system, and God rescued us from that world system in Jesus. I love how Paul put it in the book of Colossians, for he rescued us from the kingdom. Yes. Of this world and transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loved. And that's what this rescue mission, that's what this gospel is all about. So we know that this whole world is under the control of the evil one. So when we look out there in the world and we see all of the things that are happening, we know that's part and parcel to this world system that we live in.
Yes.
It's to be expected. Sometimes we see the nature of the world a little more clearly than we do at other times. It's almost as if God lifts the curtain a little bit so that we can see just what darkness really is. And I think when we see these ISIS attacks in Paris and other places in the world, I think we're seeing darkness for what it really is,
right?
The evilness of human hearts apart from a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So there is evil in this world. There has been since the very beginning when Satan entered into this world and he tempted Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve went to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that's where the world has been ever since. And there's been this struggle within this world to move the world on the right side of the tree, the good side,
yes,
instead of the evil side. And it's just kind of swinging around that tree. Well, as children of God, we're trying to pull people away from that tree altogether to another tree called the tree of life,
yes,
this new life that we can have in Jesus Christ. That's our role in this world. And that's what John goes on to say. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. So we know God. We know what he's really like. We know what makes his heart tick. We know what he's up to in this world. And as children of God, we are invited to participate in the family business.
Yes.
God is at work doing something in this world today. As children of God, he has given us that privilege and opportunity to participate in that family business.
Yeah.
What is that? That is being ministers of this new covenant, ministering life into a world that is bound by sin and death, ministers of reconciliation, going into this world and offering people peace with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the family business, and we're a part of it. And when we do those things, then we are imparting the true knowledge of God out there in the world. And so we are in him who is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And then he says, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep away anything that can move your heart away from the one true God. So that's at the end of the writing of the New Testament, basically. Mm-hmm. John was the last to contribute to the New Testament. And what does he tell us to do? To recognize truth, that this world is under the control of the evil one. recognize truth, that we are children of God, and that we have an opportunity to bring the true knowledge of God into this world and see others rescued just in the very same way that we were rescued by grace through faith in Jesus.
Absolutely. Privilege and opportunity. We have the privilege of being here each day to offer you the opportunity to come in and be a part of the broadcast and pose your question or your particular item of discussion. We want to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742. Calls beginning to come in. Again, 844-322-2742. Plenty of time, plenty of open lines. Give us a call, friends. Bob?
Well, thanks. Just in looking at Facebook and that sort of thing, several weeks ago I was in New York City and was involved in an event that was hosted by WMCA. Pastor Demas Salaberrius was a part of that. Robert Jeffress was a part of that as well. And Pastor Demas is now in Paris, and he is going door to door, knocking on, you know, people's homes and saying, hey, we're here, we're believers, can we pray for you? And hopefully being able to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ. So what do we do in the midst of these kind of tragedies? Stuff like that.
Yes.
Make ourselves available to God to be ministers of reconciliation, to be ministers of life, to be ministers of hope in this world of darkness. And so we need to be praying for people like that who have decided, who felt moved by the Spirit to go into those places. You know, Paris is a pretty nice place, but it's under, you know, was under attack this weekend. And so there's mass hysteria, there's fear, there's all sorts of things. And so believers are going into those areas to bring a sense of hope and peace and calmness. Others are in Syria and other places. I had another pastor friend that was with in Jamaica not too many weeks ago, as we were working in a small community trying to bring hope there. Well, as soon as that was over, he left for Egypt and went to some of the refugee camps, yes, that the Egyptians were setting up for Syrian refugees, and praying with leaders and bringing hope and the good word of Jesus into that area. So we need to be praying for people like that who are carrying this message. And then in the meantime, we make ourselves available to people who need hope right around us. That's what we are as believers, children of God who have the true knowledge of God.
Absolutely. Well, again, 800-844-322-2742, 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Kurt, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, guys. It's been a few days since I talked to you. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
I just wanted to get your all's opinion. I've been trying to do a little studying on this. So what is your all's opinion on speaking in tongues? To my understanding, speaking in tongues is when the Holy Spirit give them the ability to speak in different languages, as far as earthly languages, not Babel.
Well, Kurt, I think you're correct there. It was always a known language. We certainly see that at the day of Pentecost, when Jews were able to hear the good news about Jesus in their native tongue. And it was being delivered to them by Galileans, just fishermen, uneducated fishermen. So God works supernaturally so that the wonders and glories of God in the person of Jesus Christ could be explained to those that were there. And people didn't understand how that could be. And they asked the question, you know, what's going on? And Peter stood up and said, this is all about the imparting of the Holy Spirit. This is what the prophet talked about. And it all revolves around the person and work of Jesus Christ. And those who believe today and receive him will be given the gift of the Spirit. And so that gift of tongues was something to grab the attention of the people so that they could receive Jesus and be indwelt by the Spirit themselves.
Right. Well, I work with a couple ladies that are very, extremely nice ladies, but their ideal of speaking in tongues is speaking in I call it babble, into something that's just totally incoherent. It's not a language. It's more just, I don't know what to call it.
Well, Kurt, here's what I would say on that, and this is my experience. And so this is over a 30-year history in ministry and talking with people. Normally, when somebody is quote, defending, making a case for the necessity of speaking in tongues, what they're equating that with is assurance of salvation. So as long as they are speaking in that tongue, that angelic tongue or whatever they call it, then they have assurance of salvation. Gotcha. Now, if you can address the assurance of salvation issue on the basis of Christ's finished work on the cross, the fact that he took away all sins, the fact that he has declared us righteous through faith in him, that he's justified us, and then has sent his Spirit to take up residence in us, build the case there, then normally when people accept that and stand solidly on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then they lose focus on the necessity of speaking in tongues for assurance of salvation.
The other things, correct. Well, I've had a talk with them, and they believe in the resurrection, but they also are on the opposite side of my fence and think that you can lose your salvation. So that's, you're right. That's probably feeding into the same thing.
Yeah, I would think so, Kurt. And like I said, that's been my experience. Richard, what's your
very
experience
similar,
on that?
Very similar. When God needs someone to communicate with someone, the Spirit enables the communication. And I say praise Jesus for that. But all this other stuff,
amen,
which is, you know, is focused on a behavior or a performance issue, it can't be right. If there's any part of my salvation that is dependent upon any part of my behavior, then I'm going to hell because I will fail.
Amen.
And so it's by grace through faith or it's not at all.
Yes, I agree with you all totally 100%. Love listening to you all. Keep it up, and I'll talk to you all another day.
Hey, thanks, Kirk. Help spread the word. Get some more folks tuned in there in Louisville. We would love that.
Yes, indeed.
I sure will.
Okay, my friend. Let's go to Long Island and talk to Dominic. Hi, Dominic. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, God bless, Pastors. I hope everything's well. Did you mention a good and evil, right? In the beginning of the program, was it mentioned?
We mentioned the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he said to them, of all the trees you can eat, except this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when Satan lured them to that tree and made it look pleasing to their eyes, they chose to eat, and in so doing, they chose independence from God. And so mankind was left to determine good from evil on its own. And so in today's world and throughout history, you know, different people have stood up and they've called good evil, and they've also called evil good. We've lost our standard. We've lost our moral compass because we're leaning on our own understanding, trying to figure out the difference between good and evil.
All right. Thank you for that. I think in my own studies, I've come upon James 1:8 that we shall not be double-minded because a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. This compares to a sober person and a person who isn't sober. And that also applies to interpretations. So the problem is, in my opinion, is we come upon, and probably before we were all born at this present time, the repeal of prohibition has perverted the thinking because we're not a sober people anymore. There's too much influence from the alcohol and the other intoxicants. And I think even the presidential debate explains how some of these people are proud of being talking alcohol, where it's not the same answer. In other words, James 1:8 is saying you're not going to arrive at the same answer when you're intoxicated than when you're sober. You can't walk a straight line when you're intoxicated compared to when you're sober. So this also applies to thinking.
Well, Dominic, and, I think you certainly have a point about alcohol and the negative
causes suicide.
the negative influence. But Jesus would say that the problem goes a little bit deeper than that. It's not what goes into the mouth of man that defiles a man. It's what proceeds from his heart. It's out of the heart that all of these evil things come. And so the solution is
for instance, the hardness of the heart.
Yeah. So the solution is a heart.
The hardness of the heart.
Yeah. The solution is the heart. And only the gospel can really deal with the heart. And once the heart is changed, other things will start falling away. Because at that point, we're being nurtured at the tree of life, not at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there's a big difference there. And so as we learn to walk in dependence upon the Lord, as we learn to walk by faith in Jesus Christ, in the same way that he walked in dependence upon his Father, then we're going to start to bear the fruit of God's Spirit in our lives. That's the change. That's the heart change. When we were lost, our center, our heart was on the things of the world. Now through faith in Jesus Christ, our heart is now centered on Christ. And that's going to make all the difference in the world.
The thing is, it applies to the way the alcohol, for instance, is made. Now, if it's grape juice, it's one thing. If you let it ferment, it's deceiving. It looks the same if it's fermented and cleared, because it comes over like chicken broth, like boiling chicken broth. I used to have to help my father make this stuff. That's why I know, when I was 10 years old, maybe. So the thing is, the intoxicant doesn't appear to be an intoxicant, and that's the deception of the tree of good and evil when Adam and Eve had this problem.
Well, and that's the devil. I mean, that's the whole nature of the world. That's the whole nature of the world system. It operates on the principle of deception. Satan made that
clearly. You know.
Well, alcohol's not the
recognize the difference.
Yeah, but alcohol's not the. It's a problem. I'm going to agree with you there. But as far as God is concerned, the heart is the real problem, and that's what he's interested in. But we certainly appreciate your call today. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Dominic. We have plenty of open lines, friends, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We're getting deep into the month of November, of course, over halfway into the fourth quarter of the year. And we want to talk to you a little bit about supporting the ministry, friends. You know, for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you're going to receive a copy of our study guide called The New Covenant Journey. This, of course, is the study guide that we're using each Friday through our teaching editions. Beyond that, for your gift, that's the thing that will support the ministry. We need your ongoing support, friends, to keep the good news coming. And, Bob, give us an update where we are and what we need between now and the end of the year.
Well, we need about $400,000 between now and the end of the year to really come out of this year strong, ready for 2016.
Yeah.
And in the fourth quarter of the year, that's when people are the most generous, and so we're counting on our listeners and their generosity to help us at this particular time. This is about where we are every year, so we're just counting on you. If this ministry has made a difference in your life, if you want to help spread the word, if you want to help get the word out, and I think that's what we need to do as believers.
Absolutely.
More than anything else. You know, these tragedies come up, these things happen in this world, and so there's this question that always arises. What are we supposed to do? How are we as Christians supposed to respond? And I think it should just intensify our resolve to get the word out. What's needed out there in this world? The good news about Jesus, the gospel of his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what's going to change human hearts. And so if you want to get that word out, if you want your gifts to accomplish that, getting the word out and into the lives of others, I ask you to come be a part of the Basic Gospel team. That's what we're all about. We want to get that word out to as many people as possible, and in so doing, to connect as many as people as possible to the love of Jesus Christ. That's where change and transformation comes. So come join us. Be a part of this Basic Gospel family. Stand with us, and let's together get the word out in this world that desperately needs to know the love of Christ.
And you can join us by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator during Central Time office hours to accomplish your gift to the ministry. That number, 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. Billy will be glad to hear from you and accommodate you to make your gift to the ministry. And, of course, sign you up for that New Covenant study guide called The New Covenant Journey.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to New Jersey and talk with Wayne, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Wayne.
How you doing? Praise the Lord, brother. I enjoyed a seminar that we had in New York.
Boy, we really enjoyed seeing you, Wayne. Fun. That was that was one of the highlights, my friend.
That's right. And my question is in Jeremiah 31, verse 31 and 34, speaking of the new covenant. And how would we apply that to when the Lord says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11, of the Sabbath day?
How does that apply to the Sabbath day?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking? Well,
yeah.
This new covenant has been prophesied, has been talked about, has been introduced to the people of Israel. When Jesus came, he stood before his disciples at that Last Supper. He raised the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, the blood of the new covenant shed for you." And so he was saying that this new covenant was about to be ushered in through his death. And when he died and proclaimed, "It is finished," the new covenant became effective. And so as believers today, we are new covenant believers. We're not old covenant believers. We're new covenant believers. Well, everything that we see in the old covenant and in the law and in the prophets foreshadowed what we would experience in this new covenant. So when we read the law and that fourth commandment that says to keep the Sabbath day holy, we have to recognize that that was foreshadowing something that we were going to experience today through faith in Jesus. And what we experience today through faith in Jesus is rest from our works to try to gain love and acceptance from him. Just as he's rested from his works. We don't have to try to get God to like us. We don't have to try to earn righteousness. We don't have to try to earn forgiveness. We can rest from all of those works because in Christ we already have those things. And so that Sabbath that was talked about in the fourth commandment has found its fulfillment and its ultimate realization through faith in Jesus Christ, as we walk by faith in him as new covenant believers.
Okay, I'm sure to say, I think in Luke says that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath.
He is.
The Sabbath is not man's name, I think man's Sabbath or something like that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and through faith in him, we get to experience his true intention as far as the Sabbath is concerned, and it actually is an eternal rest in Jesus. Well, Wayne, we're almost out of time. Thanks for your call, and as you said, it sure was a joy to see you in New York several weeks ago. Thanks for being there, my friend.
Indeed, we are just about out of time, and friends, we invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. All you need to do is click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of the website at basicgospel.net. Also, I want to remind you about our app. We have provided it just for you, and you can use it to stay connected day by day with Basic Gospel. With the app, you can listen to the live broadcast, which is a real plus these days. You can access the program archive. You can post a question and get an answer on the air. You can see Bob Christopher's blog, and you can access my weekly post called Inside the Studio. Find out about upcoming events, and you can join our email list right there as well. And you'll find us interactive with Facebook and Twitter. The Basic Gospel app available now in the App Store. Also, a reminder once again that for a gift of any amount this month, we're going to send you a copy of our study guide, The New Covenant Journey, which we're studying through each Friday on this program. To claim your copy and support the ministry at the same time, click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that's 844-412-2742. Make your gift today and receive your copy of The New Covenant Journey. Well, thanks for being with us, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.